The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Off the Ball's Ger Gilroy is with me to look ahead to the weekend sporting action. Ger, can I ask you about the changes to the football calendar, soccer calendar?
So one of the big issues in Irish soccer football has been that loads of games get called off for kids over winter, and those games get called off for everybody over winter. And one idea that had been floated for a long period of time now at this stage is that maybe we played football in the summer when the weather was better and the pitches are slightly better. Mm. Actual grass on some of those pitches that are not just muck might be like a good idea. And it's been very difficult to get the individual constituent parts of football to agree to this. Last night, a vote was carried by 57% or 58%, very close vote anyway, to vote in favour of moving over the next 3.5-4 years to a situation where the football season runs for all teams at all age groups, all the way up to the League of Ireland, right down to the school boy and school girl. Is it school girl as well? I need to check that actually. But that there will be an alignment with these seasons. Loads of people have problems with this. They think that actually over the summer, loads of games are going to get called off because teams are on holidays. And the FA have come up with a plan to allow a certain number of games over the summer to count less and to not punish teams if they can't field because of holidays. Mm. But on balance, it feels like there's going to be more matches for more people more often.
Yeah.
And that has to be a net positive, you think.
Yeah.
But like all these things, you know, individual counties want to control over their fixture list. And ultimately, if you have 26 fiefdoms, as it would be in football, then you're never going to have alignment.
So, but does this mean there will be alignment now?
There is now, yeah.
So, in an individual county, if in Carlow they want to keep playing football over the winter, they can't now.
Well, I'm sure they can organise localised leagues
in such a way,
accounting for the
and national overall cups and all of that would be summer competitions, yeah, for underage kids. And
if you, I guess, if you want your players to be selected to represent the counties and then to go off, yeah, and have representation for at Ireland or in those development squads, then ultimately your league needs to be partaking in exactly the same football system as everybody else and the same opportunity.
Yeah. So the constituent parts, you said they were hard to kind of get to align. Who was opposed to this? Who had problems with it?
I guess, so Vinnie Perth would have articulated this very well with us over the last while, that there are coaches who coach who are like, I need some time off.
Yeah.
You know, I actually need some time away where so these are volunteers who now are committed to coaching teams throughout the summer. And obviously that's going to have a knock-on impact. So the case was being made by Vinnie and people that he knows that actually what's going to happen is people are going to drop out volunteering. And so you're actually going to have fewer people available and there will be fewer teams fielding. So
yeah.
I don't think it's an automatic slam dunk that this is definitely going to be better. But certainly it feels like if people can give it an opportunity, give it a try.
Now, there's no GAA matches called off in the summer because of holidays, underage.
But the season does stop, right?
Underage. No. No, we're in
like outside
Dublin, GAA goes all the way through the summer.
All right.
That's the issue I will see with this, is that we're going to now
have competition.
Yeah, football. And I like, sorry, look at the weather outside. I mean, it absolutely makes sense that you don't have kids going out to play football in that. So I get that. The problem, or like, I hope it doesn't become a problem, but we'll say how we manage it, and I'm sure it's the same in some other counties, but obviously not everywhere, is that when we overlap with football, say in the shoulder season, if we call it that, spring and the autumn, we defer to them in the spring because they're kind of getting to the end of their season, and they defer to us when they start back because we're still playing matches and stuff. So you kind of, now there's always a bit of tension and there's clashes. And there's kind of pig-headed people in all kind of associations. But by and large, that's how it works. And then over the summer, over the winter, they're playing football. Over the summer, we're playing hurling. There's no clash. And what I just see happening now is there's going to be a huge amount of clashes. And
in some counties, they've managed to work it out.
Yeah.
They're on different nights and they all talk to each other. And that would obviously be the model where you put the kids at the centre of this as opposed to the Mourinho's and Cody's.
Yeah.
And you're right. There are pig-headed people in every club, in every sport,
yeah,
in every town in Ireland.
Yeah. And you see, the training's not the problem because you would train on different nights and you just dovetail it. It's when you get into matches and...
What time of the day are they at?
Because you're not just have two clubs then. You're like going to have, say, you've got Club A and B playing each other and say, I'll just give an example with Nate. Say, Dixborough is playing kind of Ballygunner in the Southeast League and Freebooters are playing Evergreen and Soccer. You know what I mean? And I said, right, oh God, these matches are on at the same time and lots of Dixborough players play with Freebooters.
Who are you going to play for?
What we do.
Yeah.
Well, we can't move the Ballygunner match because Ballygunner can't move their match because Ballygunner seniors are playing later in the day and Ballygunner, and you can't have the kids playing when the seniors are playing because the kids want to go and watch the seniors playing. And then, you know,
the
and then...
have to drop the kids off. Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, and I'd hate to see kids having to choose at a young age between one and the other because I just think it's they should all be doing as much stuff as they want.
Until 15, 16.
Yeah, and absolutely. Point, and then, look, then it gets much busier. But I'd hate to see that creep earlier because of clashes. That's the only thing I'd be worried about. Look, and maybe it can be worked around.
Look, there will be rows. Of course there will. The other side of this is it's actually about boosting participation numbers. And so... we kind of have this weird thing in our heads that there's an elite and there's the participation, but actually the wider you cast the net for participation and the more you keep people in the system, the easier it is to find people who can then step
up. Anyway, one last thing on it. The other clash, like, it's often the same volunteers in both.
Yeah, especially in smaller towns.
Yeah, and you don't want to see, like, as in, you could dovetail training, but you don't want to dovetail training and it means that mum or dad are out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because again, one of them will fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, it'll all get worked out in the wash. There's continue to be pick-headed people in all code. The Champions Cup is back, rugby. How much pressure is Leo Cullen under?
Well, he signed a new 2-year deal and people in sport have very short-term memories. So when Leo Cullen arrived, Leinster weren't in the juggernaut situation they are at the moment, but he has helped to create that. So... maybe he is a prisoner of his own success in that the expectation is so high, but it was the width of a post that prevented them from winning the trophy last year.
Yeah.
You've no right to win competitions that you enter when there are massive super clubs in France and England trying to win the same thing. The fact that you're like in extra time in the final means that you're doing everything right apart from that last bit.
Yeah.
And so there is pressure because it's sport and it's results driven, but his results are astonishingly good.
Yeah.
Compared with the results of the previous... after Joe Schmidt left, there was a period of time where they weren't that good and they weren't as competitive as they are now and they weren't bringing new young players through who immediately understood exactly what was going on. But that's because he's put the work in with the coaching development and Stuart Lancaster did a little work around that as well. So you're going to find loads of Leinster fans who are like, oh, it's win or bust, what a loser if he doesn't win this. I'm like, oh my God.
But you and I have talked about this as well, and as you say, the width of a post, that ball had gone the other way and they win, then, like, the way you analyse how he managed squad rotation 2 months before the final completely changes.
Yeah.
He managed that perfectly. Like, squad rotation 2 months before the final had nothing to do with whether that ball went inside or outside the post, yet your interpretation of it becomes all about it.
It's true. Sport,
look.
It is sport, but actually the other side of this is they got themselves in the situation where they're competitive with the other best teams in the world who have similar size budgets and similar playing population, and that's really all you can ask for. And they play brilliant rugby. They're great to watch. Like, so yeah, kill them if you want to, but I think you're mad.
Anyway, Munster would swap places with them.
Well, they would in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Munster have named an interesting team this weekend as well. Tyburn is on the bench, so they feel pretty strong about it. They've got a bit of youth in the side. It has the bang of a Mike Prendergast selection. It'll be interesting to see now. Like, they've brought in a coaching consultant who would very much think along the lines of what Mike Prendergast thinks in terms of keeping the ball alive and an offloading game. He had great success at Northampton. So very interesting to see what...
So that's in home and against Stad tomorrow. Very briefly, just Premier League, Everton-Liverpool. I guess maybe there's kind of some importance to it because Liverpool drew during the week. But really, the emotional and the cultural importance is the last Merseyside derby at Goodison.
Yeah. So they've built this...
End of an era.
Built this incredible new stadium down by the water, which, you know, sea levels are rising. We'll see what a great investment that is in 20 years' time. And they just came off the back of a 4-0 win where we really thought that Dyche was going to be very close. Like, the new owners haven't yet officially come in, but they will. And Dyche seems uncertain about whether or not he's going to be their guy. He's even talking that way this week. So look, maybe they get a bounce, you would expect. So you wouldn't be terribly surprised if this is a nil-all, a heroic nil-all from Everton's perspective. And that's enough just to get the title race back on.
Sure, thanks a million for that.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.